This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
More explosives found near New York City. Good morning. I'm Mike Gavin, sitting in for Gordon Deal along with Jennifer Kashenka. It's Monday, September 19th, 2016, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After bomb explosions in New York City and at the Jersey Shore over the weekend, five more devices were found in another New Jersey city, with one exploding while being disarmed.
Muslim leaders in St. Cloud, Minnesota are strongly condemning a stabbing spree in a shopping mall there over the weekend that may have been inspired by Islamic State.
Game of Thrones and Veep take the top honors at the Emmy Awards, while the OJ docudrama also cleans up.
And why being a millionaire is nothing to get too excited about if you're saving for retirement.
Most of these millionaires said that they didn't feel wealthy. And it kind of depended on how much they have in on hand. You know, for a lot of them, they felt like you needed to have at least $3 million to be wealthy. And about half of them said you needed at least $5 million or more to be wealthy. So it's an interesting take on, well, you know, how much do you really need for retirement, and, you know, how much is enough? There's a lot of flexibility in that number.
CNBC consumer reporter Kelly Grant tells us more about how saving $1 million for retirement might just be a good start. She'll join us later in the hour. Another device has exploded in the greater New York City area, this time in Elizabeth, New Jersey, just a few miles from Manhattan. Officials say one of the five devices found in a backpack near a commuter train station exploded early this morning while a bomb squad was attempting to disarm it. Elizabeth Mayor Christian Bolwage says the device exploded shortly after 12:30 a.m. this morning. The FBI was leading the investigation and working to disarm the other four devices. There were no reports of injuries. Bolwage said two men called police after finding it around a trash can around 8:30 p.m. last night.
They saw the wires in the pipe. They immediately dropped the package, walked around the corner to police headquarters, reported to police, at which time the police informed the Union County Bomb Squad.
The discovery of the package comes a day after an explosion in Manhattan injured 29 people, and a pipe bomb exploded about an hour away from Elizabeth in Seaside Park, New Jersey, just before a military charity 5K run. Multiple senior law enforcement officials told NBC News that the suspicious device discovered Sunday night appeared similar to that device. Train service on the busy Northeast Corridor line was suspended as the scene unfolded in Elizabeth, with riders reportedly being stuck on Amtrak and New Jersey Transit trains for hours, while some trains moved in reverse to let passengers off at other stations. Meanwhile, counterterrorism agents are combing through surveillance videos as the hunt for the bomb maker who set off the explosion in New York City Saturday night that injured 29 and put the city on high alert. Officials say they were trying to determine if the explosion in Manhattan, an unexploded device that was found four blocks away, and the earlier blast at the Jersey Shore were the work of the same individual or group. Authorities said they see similarities between the bombs. Cell phones were used in all three devices, for example, but they hadn't made a clear connection. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Not taking any options off the table. I want to be very clear about that. All possible theories of what's happened here and how it connects will be looked at.
FBI agents also conducted a traffic stop late last night just off of a New York City bridge. Reports are that as many as five people were detained after that traffic stop, though the Bureau's Twitter feed says that no one has been charged with any crime and that the investigation is continuing. Mayor de Blasio said that as a result of the Saturday night blast, New Yorkers and visitors will see a very substantial NYPD presence this week. New New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill reiterated the familiar points of see something, say something.
If you see something out there that makes you feel uncomfortable, that looks unusual, you have to take that step to make sure somebody knows and we can respond and we can fully investigate it.
The heightened alert comes both as a result of Saturday's explosion and because world leaders are gathering in New York today for the United Nations General Assembly. President Obama is expected to attend the annual meeting on Tuesday, the last of his 8-year tenure. Well, as you might expect, this weekend's possible terror attacks prompted strong response from politicians and those seeking the office of President of the United States. Both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump largely remained true to their form when reacting to the news of the explosion in New York City, with Trump sounding alarms and Clinton offering caution. Trump was set to take the stage in Colorado Springs just as unconfirmed reports of an explosion in downtown Manhattan started spreading over Twitter. After waiting on his plane for about 13 minutes, he took the stage.
Just before I got off the plane, a bomb went off in New York, and nobody knows exactly what's going on. But boy, we are living in a time. We better get very tough, folks. We better get very, very tough.
On Sunday morning, Trump shifted tone on Twitter in a message to the families and victims of the more than two dozen people injured by the explosion. Meanwhile, Clinton appeared to criticize Trump for immediately calling the incident a bombing, though she initially referred to it the same way. She also cited first responders and victims.
Obviously, we need to do everything we can to support our first responders, also to pray for the victims.
Asked later to respond to Trump's calling the explosion a bombing, Clinton told NBC News that it's important to wait until jumping to conclusions. Later Sunday, Clinton put out a statement strongly condemning the, quote, apparent terrorist attacks in New York, New Jersey, and Minnesota. Moving now to Minnesota, residents of St. Cloud are struggling to come to terms with a vicious stabbing attack inside of a shopping mall. On Saturday night, a man dressed as a security guard began attacking people with a knife, making references to Allah and asking at least one victim if he was a Muslim. Nine people were injured. All are expected to survive. The man was eventually killed by an off-duty police officer from another community who had to fire several shots as the assailant repeatedly tried to get up and lunge at him. The alleged attacker was identified as a Somali-American, and media outlet aligned with Islamic State claimed him as a soldier who was inspired by the group's message. Local Muslim leader Jelani Hussein condemned the act.
This is an act of an individual, and we want our community to realize this fact.
Last year, the U.S. granted entrance to nearly 9,000 Somalis, with many joining the already sizable population in Minnesota. Somalis have migrated to Minnesota both voluntarily since the 1980s and later as refugees as the Civil War intensified in the 1990s in Somalia. Police presence was minimal Sunday afternoon at Crossroads Center Mall, where the stabbing took place. One officer stood outside the entrance of the Macy's where the assailant was killed. He waved to the occasional motorists who drove by in a slow procession. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, how the 2016 election became the one that forgot the voters.
Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the 9 to 5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. Use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's quick and easy. You even save money with Stamps.com, too, and get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, then click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the code DEAL. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code DEAL.
Gordon Deal's off. I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for coming along. By the way, Jennifer will be here with the latest on those explosions in New York City and the new one in New Jersey this morning in just a couple of minutes. But first, you can bet that in light of this weekend's news, terrorism is sure to again become a central theme of the last month and a half of campaigning for the White House, at least for a little while anyway. While terror, foreign policy, immigration, the economy, and other issues have taken center stage for periods of time during the campaigns, Boston Globe writer James Pindell writes that largely Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have moved away from a discussion about the issues facing Americans to the issues facing each other. James joins us now for his piece called The Election That Forgot the Voters. James, what did you write about here?
Yeah, every 4 years, you know, we distress over the television advertising and the mudslinging, but it really is a chance to have a national conversation over a whole host of issues on who wins or loses in tax code, when we're talking about the healthcare system, how we're going to create jobs. It's a chance to actually have a national dialogue. But the campaign started this way. When these candidates were in Iowa and in New Hampshire, people were asking about college affordability. Republicans asked a lot about terrorism and immigration reform. But this has become a campaign now that is all about the candidates, and it's not about you, the voters. You know, we've obviously talked endlessly about Hillary Clinton's handling of her email. But again, that's her. That's her issue. But we aren't talking at all about whether or not the NSA should, you know, eavesdrop on our email. So it's been a campaign, really, that's been pretty much all about the candidates and even bystanders, and for the most part have to figure out who we trust or like the most. But it's not like we're going to be taking out a calculator and figuring out who's got the best plans for us.
How did this happen? Like, you know, how did we reach this point?
Well, for some, they believe this is part of the celebritization of American politics, that, you know, this is a unique election that's taking place in an age of fully developed social media that involves a reality TV star who has been very good at making his brand about himself for the past couple of decades, and a person like Hillary Clinton, who we know quite well, and despite whatever her accomplishments as a senator or as a as the United States Secretary of State, is still a Clinton and is known for scandals and sometimes flat-out sketchiness and not being transparent. And so those two particular factors have led us to have the two most unpopular candidates for president in American history, and they are almost making an explicit tactical decision that they're not going to try to get people to like them anymore. What they're going to try to do to win is they think that's a lost cause. What they're going to try to do to win is to tear down the other person so much and make them unelectable that you're just left with them.
Jeez, we're speaking with James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. His story is called "The Election That Forgot the Voters." All right, so we've identified the problem here. The question is it fixable?
Well, I mean, the question is whether or not this particular election is an anomaly or whether or not it's like the latest trend, and this is the way it's going to be for a while. I do think that, I mean, in some ways, this is an embarrassment of riches, frankly, that we're having this conversation, which is so personality-driven. What I mean by that is, in 2008, you had two really interesting personalities in John McCain, obviously a war hero, a national treasure for a lot of reasons, and then you had Barack Obama, you know, this very hopeful young person who's going to be the first African-American president. But that really didn't drive the campaign. The recession did.
All right. Thanks, James. We'll see if maybe the terrorism issue after this past weekend takes hold for the remainder of the election. James Pindle from the Boston Globe joining us this morning. Just about 21 minutes now after the hour. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Mike, authorities questioned several people early this morning as they worked to determine if there's a connection between an explosion that rocked a New York City neighborhood, an unexploded pressure cooker device found blocks away, an earlier pipe bomb blasted a New Jersey shore town, or explosive devices found across the state near a train station. Last night, FBI agents stopped a vehicle of interest in the investigation of the Manhattan explosion. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo spoke yesterday.
At this time, there's no evidence of an international terrorism connection with this incident.
Meanwhile, Elizabeth, New Jersey Mayor Christian Bolwage says one of the five devices found in a backpack last night near a train station exploded while a bomb squad robot was attempting to disarm it this morning. There were no reports of injuries. Authorities are investigating the stabbings of nine people at a Minnesota mall as a potential act of terrorism. A young Somali man dressed as a private security guard entered the Crossroads Center Mall over the weekend wielding a knife. The man reportedly made at least one reference to Allah and asked a victim if he or she was Muslim before attacking. He was killed by an off-duty police officer. President Obama last night praised Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton for her intellect, fortitude, and unerring judgment and blasted the other guy on his New York home turf as unqualified to be president. The New York fundraiser followed the president's appearance Saturday night at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation dinner, where he called on blacks to vote.
And after we have achieved historic turnout in 2008 and 2012, especially in the African-American community, I will consider it a personal insult if this community lets down its guard and fails to activate itself in this election.
Clinton holds an advantage of 83 percentage points over Donald Trump among black voters in the latest New York Times CBS News poll released last week. And researchers from Switzerland have confirmed what most of us already know. Drinking a single glass of beer can make you more sociable. The desire to be with others in a happy, talkative, and open environment increased in the group that drank alcohol. The beer enabled participants to recognize happy faces more quickly and enhanced emotional empathy.
Certainly works for me. I mean, radio folks were sort of notoriously antisocial, and at least maybe just speaking for myself.
Yeah, okay.
But I know a few of us in that group, and you know, a beer or two certainly makes us more chatty. I'll agree with that study. Thanks very much, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Well, it's long been known that when you're in the hospital, the illness that sent you there is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the danger you're facing. Infections from superbugs such as MRSA can be deadly for patients and can be spread in any number of ways. Now, some hospitals are taking extreme measures to combat the bugs. More on that now from Wall Street Journal health columnist Laura Landreau. Laura, what are we looking at here?
You know, MRSA, we've all heard that acronym MRSA, which stands for methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. One of those bugs that is now called a superbug. And basically what that means is it was originally just a staph bacteria, but some strains of it have become completely resistant to the antibiotics that were long used to treat it. So the big concern for many years has been hospital infections, because a lot of people pick this up in the hospital. And hospitals have actually done a pretty good job of doing the things that they need to do with themselves to get this numbers down on MRSA, like wash hands, clean surfaces, be really, really very careful about hygiene and cleanliness. However, what the next frontier is, and this has started to be recognized by all these researchers and who are studying this and looking for preventive measures, is people themselves. We carry, about a third of us carry these staph bacteria, some MRSA, some just regular staph, but still infection-causing. Once you're in the hospital, they want to know, are you one of these people that's colonized? Because some people are intermittently colonized. So that's what they're looking for now. Who are these people who are colonized? How can we kind of clean them up while they're in the hospital so they don't get infected themselves when, let's say, you know, there's a surgery and there's, you know, once it gets into the body, into the bloodstream, into the skin, that's when you have to worry.
We're on the phone with Wall Street Journal health columnist Laura Landreau. Laura, what are hospitals doing to battle this?
Well, they have a new approach, and it's called decolonization. And basically, it was tested originally in intensive care units, which is where the sickest patients are. And basically, they are taking the patients, whether they're not going through the bother of screening them and then isolating them, which is what a lot of hospitals have done. Because if screening is expensive, isolation is really hard on patients. So what they're doing is they're just basically acting as if everybody was colonized. And when you come into the ICU, you're going to get bathed with a germ-killing soap. They found, this was at HCA hospitals. HCA has been doing, you know, giving its hospitals over to all this research. And they found that when they did that first approach, just treating everybody like they were carriers, they reduced MRSA by 37%, all types of bloodstream infections by 44%.
Scary stuff. Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal health columnist Laura Landreau joining us this morning. Coming up on 30 minutes after the hour now on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
It's 34 minutes after the hour. Gordon Deals off. I'm Mike Gavin sitting in on this Monday morning. Busy Monday morning. Some of the top stories and headlines today. More explosive devices are found near New York City, with one being detonated by the bomb squad. Meanwhile, investigators continue to search for whoever planted two devices in New York City, one of which exploded and injured 29 people on Saturday. A Somali-American man, possibly inspired by Islamic State, is responsible for injuring 9 people in a stabbing spree at a mall in Minnesota. Next man up in New England, as backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo goes down with an injury. Tom Brady isn't due back for 2 more weeks, and the Pats have a game this Thursday. Of course, the team's already 2-0 on the season. And why people willing to plunk down almost $20 for a cocktail are getting more picky about the ice in their drink. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, no matter if you're a parent, grandparent, or babysitter, you know that one of the most daunting tasks you face is making sure that your car seat is installed correctly. Research continues to show that motor vehicle crashes are one of the leading causes of death among children, and that a properly installed car seat can dramatically reduce injury and prevent death. That's why Buckle Up for Life, the National Car Seat Education Program from Toyota and Cincinnati Children's Hospital, is out sharing safety tips for Child Passenger Safety Week. Corazon Ochanda is the injury prevention coordinator at Cincinnati Children's and joins us now with more. Corazon, tell us about what you're doing this week.
It is a week surrounded by information about car seat safety. We have a program called Buckle Up for Life. It is a national car seat education program created by Toyota and Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And this program was created because many people would be surprised to know that 3 out of 4 car seats are installed incorrectly. So we want to make sure that everyone has that information available to them. And so we offer resources and one-on-one assistance in different areas and catchments throughout the nation. We like to remind parents of some tips that are helpful to consider when installing a car seat. One being making sure that car seat is tightly installed. And with that, we mean that car seat should not move front or back or side to side more than an inch. Another tip we like to give families is to make sure that the straps on the car seat are snug on that child. You want to make sure that they're protected. So if you do a pinch at the webbing and you can access that webbing, you want to make sure that you tighten it a little bit more. You want to make sure that child is restrained in there for their own safety.
We're speaking with Corazon Ochanda, injury prevention coordinator at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So what's the biggest mistake we're making as parents?
We notice the harnessing to be an issue, so that's why we recommend that parents do the pinch test and the inch test, as I stated earlier, making sure that that seat doesn't move more than an inch side to side and front and back, as well as making sure that that harnessing is snug. We recommend that parents make sure they have a new seat, they know the history of their car seat, as well as making sure that child stays in the back seat of the car until the age of 13.
So what about hand-me-downs? Is that something that's okay when it comes to car seats?
That's a great question. We definitely recommend that families get a new seat just because you want to make sure you know that history of that car seat. You don't know if it's ever been in an accident and if it'll be able to perform as well if it has been in one. So we recommend that parents always get a new seat.
And on that note, are there different rules in different states?
Yes. We recommend that children stay rear-facing until the age of 2. And then when they graduate to a booster seat, we want to make sure that they're in there until they're 4'9". And also the height and weight limits of that car seat. And like I stated earlier, you want to make sure that child stays in the back seat until the age of 13 and that they're not in the front seat where they could be injured in case of a collision and that airbag deploys.
Yeah, I'm sure most parents would agree. There's nothing more nerve-wracking than the first time you put your newborn baby, the first newborn baby, into the car seat that you installed, hoping that you did it the right way, hoping that everything's going to stay in place, and your spouse goes back there to sort of hold everything in place, make sure that that your child stays safe. So a very nerve-wracking experience. So thanks for the tips, Corazon. Corazon Ochanda from Cincinnati Children's Hospital with some more tips on how to keep our kids safe in the car. It's just about 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, why being a millionaire isn't all that it's cracked up to be if you're planning to retire anytime soon.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a smooth, clean shave. But you're tired of paying $32 for new blades. Stop messing around with those generic razors and start shaving with Harry's for half the price. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular shave set, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free when you cover shipping, a total value of $20. Just go to harrys.com now and enter code 0808 at checkout to redeem your shave set. That's harrys.com, code 0808.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Well, remember when you were a kid and you thought about maybe becoming a millionaire someday, dreaming of living in your huge mansion and driving around in a fleet of expensive cars? Well, if you're looking to retire in 2016 or beyond, maybe becoming a millionaire is instead just a good start. More now from our own Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. Her story is called "This Beats Having $1 Million for Many." All right, meaning what?
We saw some new data out from Ameriprise. They were surveying some of the millionaires that had popped up in an earlier survey of theirs about financial attitudes, and they talked to them all about different habits and milestones in relation to becoming millionaires. And the surprising thing out of this was that only 6% of these millionaires said that there was nothing in their lives that beat hitting that $1 million mark. Mm. Most of the rest of them said that retiring, for example, was more important than becoming a millionaire or paying off their home mortgage. And the takeaway for consumers there is it's really not about necessarily the money for a lot of these very wealthy consumers, but what that money lets you do.
Got it. All right. So when you said that before, it made me think, so retiring, for example, for some of these folks is not necessarily connected to $1 million, right? That's not a stopping point or a saving stopping point for some.
It isn't necessarily. And the other interesting bit of this data that's kind of connected here is that most of these millionaires said that they didn't feel wealthy. And it kind of depended on how much they have in on hand. You know, for a lot of them, they felt like you needed to have at least $3 million to be wealthy. Jeez, and about half of them said you needed at least $5 million or more to be wealthy. So it's an interesting take on, well, you know, how much do you really need for retirement and, you know, how much is enough? There's a lot of flexibility in that number.
Values change, right?
Values do change, you know, and we always hear that $1 million for retirement figure. And, you know, when you really look at it, though, and kind of crunch the numbers on a personal side of things, like, you know, that might be not enough for you. It might be, you know, way more than you need, depending on, you know, how much money you expect to need in retirement and what sort of a lifestyle you're living.
Right. We're speaking with Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. Her story is called "This Beats Having $1 Million for Many." All right, so what else? What else are these milestones more important than $1 million?
A lot of the big ones were, you know, retiring, paying off a mortgage, having cash on hand to buy big ticket purchases, or paying for your children's education. So I think, you know, the lesson for consumers here is really to think about not just, you know, going for a particular number with your goals, but thinking about these broader goals of, you know, retiring or paying off your mortgage and having some sort of a context for how much money you need to be happy instead of being focused on, you know, having $1 million or $2 million or more.
Yeah. You know, this seems to suggest that with age comes wisdom, right? Not chasing the almighty dollar so much.
We hope. You know, I mean, I think for some of these millionaires, it sounded like, as we're talking to financial advisors, that, you know, they feel like other things were more important because they feel like they don't have enough money.
Okay.
So part of this is sort of having a realistic expectation for what your lifestyle is going to be in retirement and kind of avoiding that lifestyle creep so that as you earn more money or come up with other income streams that you're not immediately using that to, you know, boost your standard of living to a point where you're going to require more money in retirement and really feel like you do need more.
That's interesting. So these folks have sort of played a mind game with themselves.
I think some of them have, yeah. And that's, you know, where it comes down to, it's really important to have that personalized retirement goal instead of just saying, like, I think I need a million or I think I need 2.5 million. You know, that it's really something that you want to, you know, be crunching the numbers, whether that's talking to a financial advisor, using different financial calculators that are out there, or even just having some sense of what the numbers look like for you and how much money you think you're going to need in retirement and kind of working that back to get some sort of a reasonable idea of, well, how much do I need to save and where am I in relationship to that number.
CNBC consumer reporter Kelly Grant with our own Gordon Deal, who has stated for the record, by the way, on this show that it would take at least $10 million for him to feel comfortable with retiring. So the good news for all of us, looks like he'll be waking us up in the morning for the very foreseeable future. It's about 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, Jennifer has returned with more of America's First News.
Like counterterrorism agents are combing through surveillance videos as they hunt for a bomb maker who set off an explosion in New York Saturday night that injured 29 people. Officials are trying to determine if the explosion in Manhattan, an unexploded device that was found four blocks away, and a blast earlier in the day about 80 miles away in New Jersey, were the work of the same individual or group. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Not taking any options off the table. I want to be very clear about that. All possible theories of what's happened here and how it connects will be looked at.
Meanwhile, commuter trains are resuming service after one of five devices found in a backpack near a train station last night in Elizabeth, New Jersey, exploded while a robot was attempting to disarm it. There were no reports of injuries. President Obama and Iraqi Prime Minister al-Abadi will strategize about the upcoming offensive to take back the northern city of Mosul when they meet on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. In Iraq, cooperation with Abadi's forces has helped the U.S.-led coalition wrest back half the territory that ISIS once held. Driven by a desire to free up lawmakers to campaign, congressional negotiators are working to quickly complete a spending bill to prevent an election season government shutdown and finally provide money to battle the threat of the Zika virus. The stopgap measure would keep the government running past the end of the budget year this month. HBO's Game of Thrones conquered the Emmy Kingdom. It was honored last night as top drama for the second consecutive year and has become the most honored primetime TV series ever. HBO's Veep repeated as best comedy series. And a man who got stuck headfirst between two rocks on a Rhode Island jetty while trying to retrieve his cell phone has been rescued with the help of olive oil. Authorities say the man got stuck up to his chest when he bent down to retrieve the phone. Firefighters spent 2.5 hours Saturday afternoon trying to rescue him before the tide came in and did so with olive oil. The man was treated for hypothermia and an injury to his foot.
Going to go out on a limb, say this wasn't the first time that this man, maybe going all the way back to his childhood, got his head stuck between something, maybe, you know, between the banister, the railing outside of his house, something like that. Sounds like a predisposition to this kind of thing.
Don't you think the phone was fried already if it landed in the ocean?
That too.
What's the point of all this?
Yeah. We do see a lot of people do a lot of dumb things to try and retrieve their cell phones that are already broken at that point. Thanks very much, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Coming up next, fancy ice cubes are big business.
Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business? It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
Well, the world of high-end cocktails is being stirred by a development that would have been unthinkable in years past. Bartenders want to put ice cubes in the drinks. The Wall Street Journal says that while you might have seen giant balls of ice or diamond-shaped ice in your drink in past years, more high-end bars are turning back to boring old ice cubes to keep your expensive cocktail cold. Now, if you're a beer and a shot kind of person, you might not know how much thought apparently goes into the ice for your drink. A bar manager for Bar Charlie in Washington, D.C. tells the Journal that his bar makes artisanal ice in in-house because his customers are really picky about what goes in their cocktails, preferring the cube over some other fancy shape. Though these aren't the same cubes that come out of your freezer at home. These are 2-inch by 2-inch mini blocks, with one ice distributor calling his cubes the Rock. Like many upscale watering holes, Bar Charlie only serves its cube in high-end drinks, like the $18 cocktail that involves setting a piece of wood on fire, then placing a glass over the smoke, and when the fire is out, you pour the bourbon over the smoke, and then you finally get your drink. Thanks for stopping by this hour. That's a wrap for Gordon and Jennifer. I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.